Welcome to Wildly Worthy, where we get intentional about money and life. Hi, I'm your host, Nikki, self-love advocate, breathwork facilitator, and money mentor. Each week, I'll teach you something new to get you one step closer to living your vision board life. Learn how to make friends with your money and yourself while finding gratitude and abundance all around. It's time to start believing and owning that we are wildly worthy of our biggest dreams. I'm so happy you're here. Let's get started. Hello, hello. Welcome back. How are you today? I hope you are loving life, living life out loud, and doing what makes you happy, brings you joy and peace. I was almost said boy, poi. Now I can't talk. Anyway, we're going to leave that in. But I'm so excited to bring you this episode today because it's something we've never talked about on this show before because I have no expertise, no real experience in this, but it will help you with your money and your creativity and all of the above. But my friend Monica Little came on to talk about creatives selling your creations, your handcrafted items on Etsy. She's an expert on Etsy, getting your things seen and sold and all that good stuff. But whether you're making candles, jewelry, soaps, t-shirts, whatever it is, she can help you sell it, and you'll definitely get a lot out of today's episode. She does have a membership that she works with people, and you can get her feedback and stuff, but she's giving us a lot for free today, so definitely stick around if that's something you want to learn more about. And even if not, if you're more in service-based or something else, she still has a lot of great nuggets to share just overall on mindset, having a business, and all of that good stuff. So definitely stick around for that. And before we get started, I do want to let you all know that I recently have lowered my one-on-one prices. I have been feeling it on my heart, and I'm like, you know what? You are a sensitive human. Listen to these heartstring pulling things. And so I have lowered my one-on-one prices for now, and probably until I get full, until my calendar books up and I'm like, okay, I can't take anymore. Or I don't know. That's kind of what I'm feeling right now. And there may be a wait list and we may be able to keep the price, but it really just depends. But I just want to give people an opportunity to get the help that they need without feeling like they have to go broke to get help with their money. So I'm offering one-on-one prices, and the lowest I've ever, like, even from the beginning of when I started coaching like 5 years ago, I've never offered this low of a package before. So definitely now is the time to get in. I'm able to do it right now, so, you know, I'm happy and I'm excited about it, and it makes me feel good, and hope it makes you feel good. And you are, if you're ready to get some help with your money, whether it's like the budgeting or just some stories you tell yourself about money or how you feel about money, I can help you with that. We'll do the numbers part, we'll do the budgeting part, but we'll also do the mindset work and uncovering those stories and those beliefs that are kind of keeping you stuck in the same cycles and repeating behaviors that keep you and your financial situation not really where you want it to be. And I want to help you get out of that. I want you to help you be able to live the life that you want to live. And it doesn't matter what other people are living, but, and also getting to a point where you're like, yeah, I'm okay with living what I want and not what society's telling me what to want. So that's another story. But anyway, if you want to get on that, hop on it. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. If you want to reach out to me, definitely reach out to me on Instagram if you have some questions, or email me and I'll get back with you. But yes, you can work with me for only $227 a month right now. Ah! Right? That is going to get you two one-on-one calls a month, and at three months at a time. So you can pay monthly if you want to pay in full. It's a small discount, maybe like $40 total. But yeah, $227. That's like such a doable number. And even if that is something that you put on a credit card for now, I promise you, we will make that back. We will find that money for you to replenish it. And I'm 100% confident that we can do this. Or I would not tell you that. I'm not one to sell promises and dreams that I'm not sure I can make come true. But I know that I can find that amount of money for you. So I'm super, super excited about it. But let's do this. I'm linking it in my show notes. But now, time for Monica's telling us all about Etsy, the secrets to getting found, seen, and sold on Etsy. Here we go.
Thanks for listening. We are here today with Monica Little. Monica left her corporate job to pursue her own dreams and build a multiple six-figure organic skincare small business. She created Etsy Algorithm Secrets and Product Biz Academy to guide other handmade small business owners along the path of turning their hobby and passion into a successful and profitable business. She's the host of the Product Biz podcast, where she shares stories of growing her own business to help others let go of perfection and overcome the fear of failure that is holding them back, so they can start taking aligned action with their own small business. Monica's passion is to create a community of small business owners that are ready to put in the work and help them realize their dreams truly are possible. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Monica. So happy to have you here.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I'm super excited to be chatting with you today.
And you guys definitely go check out her podcast as well. I was on there. I don't know if it's published yet, but I know we recorded an interview. But Monica, I'd love for you to tell everybody a little bit how you got started from where you were to now teaching people about Etsy and selling on Etsy and getting your products out there.
Oh my gosh. Well, the intro covered a gist of it, but let me give you a little bit more detail. So essentially what really happened is I was working in a corporate office. I went to school for business, worked in corporate offices for about 8 years. And while I was working at my corporate job, I generally enjoyed it. I enjoyed the team. I enjoyed my manager. I got to travel. I was paid fairly well. But at the end of every single day, I knew that I was meant to do more. I knew that I wasn't meant to be on this world to work a 9-to-5, to work 40, 50, 60 hours and just wait for the weekend to be able to explore or do something else with my life. So while I was working at my corporate full-time job, I had this nudge. I had this little just intuitive pull that I was meant to do more. And I really just started to go after what lit me up. I started to go after my passions. I started to find, what am I interested in? What do I like to do in my spare time? Because I think a lot of people, at least how I was in the corporate world, is you work all day, you come home, you have your routine of eating dinner, getting ready for the next day. You probably sit on the couch and watch TV or scroll social media, and then you do the same thing. So I really got to this place where I just felt stuck with that, and I wanted to pursue my passions, my interests. And a lot of it was asking myself, what am I actually interested in? What actually do I like to do when I have free time? And I started to play around with organic skincare and making my own skincare. And how this really came about is I was getting really big into like health and wellness and overall eating healthy and taking care of my body. And a big part of health and wellness is also the chemicals that we have in our household products, in our laundry detergent, in the makeup that we use, in the skincare that we use. So that's really how I got started with just playing around with organic skincare. And along that journey, I started to share about it on social media. I put some of it up on Etsy because people were like, hey, where can I buy this? Where are you selling it? And before I really knew it, it started to get some traction. So I ended up leaving my full-time job because it was just too hard to do both. It was too hard to work a full-time job and try to start a small business on the side. Went all in with growing my small business. Had some pretty good success with it and had a couple other, you know, pivots along the way. But what ended up happening is I realized that I went through this journey of learning how to grow my organic skincare small business so then I could help other small business owners grow their own passions into a profitable business. So that is what I do today. I help small business owners just help them grow and scale, get their products into more stores, sell on social media, sell on Etsy, and really build that profitable dream business that they have and that they want so they can be the ones that are leaving their full-time job and really following their dreams too.
I love that. And I love that you are helping these people because people are making great products, but if they're not being seen, not being, you know, nobody knows about them, you're the best kept secret, then they aren't able to make that step. They aren't able to leave those jobs and take this on full time. So I feel like you're feeling that gap in there and helping people make that from great product. Okay, now let's get this in the hands of other people, make sure other people know it's out here and how to be found. So this is a little, well, not off topic, but what would you say is the number one thing? Like, what's the biggest like mistake people are making when they are putting their products out there?
Yeah, and I love what you said of how people have this great product, but they don't know how to be found, because that's 100% it right there. So when you think of people who have a handmade product business, so me with skincare, or other people who make candles, who make jewelry, who make ceramics, who are great artists, these people love their craft. They love to make their products. They love to experiment. They love to try new things. But then what happens is the business side of things gets really complicated and maybe something that's outside of their wheelhouse. So from my perspective, when I started growing my skincare business, I went to school for business and I worked in corporate offices. So I had the creative side of enjoying experimenting and coming up with formulations, but then I had the background knowledge of business and how to really grow it and how to get it into the hands of more people. So what I found is so many people don't have that business knowledge, or they're just unsure of themselves and how they want to get to that next stage to actually get consistent sales coming in. That's what everyone wants, is those consistent sales. So when you say what's the biggest mistake that happens, I think the biggest mistake that handmade small business owners make, creatives, people who are really into making their products, and this is something which is probably one of the hardest things to overcome, but I think any entrepreneur can relate to this, is the trap of coming out with new products over and over and over and over and over again without actually spending the time to learn or implement or grow your business. I think especially for people with a handmade product business, like if you love making jewelry, what happens is you make jewelry 10 hours of your day because you love it. It's just your passion. It's what you love to do. And then maybe you have an hour to do the business side of things, or maybe you just keep pushing the business side of things off. Maybe you say, okay, well, tomorrow I'll focus on Etsy, or next week I'll focus on my website, or the following week, maybe I'll focus on Instagram. But we get in this trap of making products, coming out with new products. And what happens is there is a little bit of hype that happens every time a new product is launched. And if you have a couple hundred followers on Instagram, cool, they're going to be excited for you. But then after that hype goes away, if you don't know marketing and selling, you get caught in this hamster wheel of, okay, now I need to launch another product because that worked. I had a couple sales, but now the sales went down. So now I have to do a new one. And then you get caught in this hamster wheel of doing it over and over and over and over again. So one of the first things that I do with the people that I work with is, we're going to outline three projects that you're going to work on the next 3 months, and they don't include new products just yet. Those new products, we're going to put them on the back burner. We're going to have a later list. Mm-hmm. All your ideas, your creativity, the things that you want to do, we'll put them on a later list. We're going to ensure that you have a creative outlet that is not business related, like something you do for fun, so you're not feeling like your creativity has just been zapped and cut off. But then we're going to focus on those three projects for those 3 months and really become a master at those projects. So if it's Instagram, if it's Etsy, and if it's your website, cool. Let's do 1 month on your website. Let's build it out. Let's focus on that. So it's a beautiful website with SEO, with photos, with descriptions, everything that a website needs. Then the next month, if it's Etsy, okay, cool. We're focusing on optimizing on Etsy, getting the description, the keywords, the titles, the tags, all of those details. And then if the next month it's Instagram, all right, let's hone in on Instagram strategy, what your actual content pillars are, what your people want to know, how you can be seen as an expert. So to summarize the question of what's the biggest mistake people make is they rely on their business as their only source of creativity. So they put a lot of pressure on their business to always come out with new products. They get a little bit of hype when that new product comes out, but then they don't know marketing and selling, so they get caught in it. And then before you know it, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months go by, and they look back and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm still in the same spot, but they don't see some of those mistakes that they've been making along the way. So that's what I would say is probably like biggest, most glaring mistake that I see across the board, and something that I did a lot, which is why I learned that the hard way.
Wow. Okay. I can see that, because a creative just wants to create, right? They're like, this is my art. This is my life. I love this. I'm just going to keep doing this. And you can create forever. But like we said at the beginning, like if nobody's finding it, nobody's buying it, maybe they're buying it right when you like, but you want to make that more consistent. And you know, I talk about money, and that consistency just builds sort of a stability and like peace and calmness into your life, where like, okay, I can rest in this, and it's not always in this hustle, like frantic type of thing. And it's a little bit more like, okay, I have set up my website, now I've set up Etsy, now I've set up Instagram, and people are going to keep finding you that way. And you have been through this, right? You said, this is how I figured this out. So what are you feel like are the top three hurdles you've kind of worked through, or that you help your business owners work through?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I love what you said, because that's going to segue into the first hurdle. So what you said about creatives loving to create, 100%, so true. And what happens, though, is that there's a huge distinction, and this is maybe hurdle number one, of hobby versus business.
Mm.
Huge distinction, especially for people who literally their business maybe came from a hobby, which is why the waters get really muddy. Because a lot of time people who sell handmade products like candles, it may be the person who literally just had a hobby to make their own candles for their own house, similar to my skincare. I was making it for myself. But then people started to ask and wanted to buy. And then it's like, okay, this could be a business. So it starts as a hobby. And then these muddy waters of you're trying to turn it into a business, but you're relying on it to fulfill your creative juices as if it's still a hobby. So hurdle number one is knowing the distinction between hobby and business. If you want this to be a hobby, that's totally fine. You can sell items that are part of your hobby. But what I see is people want to have consistent business sales while they treat their business like a hobby. And that's where there's a big disconnect.
Mm.
So understanding and asking yourself, do I want this to be a business? If the answer is yes, then we have to understand that, okay, there's going to just have to be a little bit more like streamlined work that happens to create a business. Because you can imagine someone who is trying to build a house, they're going off of a plan. They have a blueprint. They have an end goal in mind. They have checkpoints of, are they working on the right things? Are they making the right progress? They don't just show up and be like, okay, well, what part of the house am I going to work on today? Because you can imagine it's going to take 2, 3, 4, 5 years for that house to be built.
Yeah.
So same thing with hobby versus business. So hurdle number one is understanding there's a difference between them and choosing which one you want. If you want it to be a hobby, cool. That's totally fine. If you want it to be a business, okay, awesome. We got to commit to that and turn it into a business. And then I'll say hurdle number two, I think we touched on this a little bit, but this will be the creative side of things. And this is so funny because I tell my members, I'm like, sometimes I feel like I'm just the dream killer, because I'm like, no, let's wait until later to do that. But you have to keep your vision on the end goal of what you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hurdle number two is understanding the creativity complex of running a small business. So what I mean by this is when you have this hobby, it really correlates to hurdle number one. A lot of times you go to that creative hobby as your creative outlet. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, oh my gosh, I just love to make jewelry when I'm stressed out. I love to make jewelry when I'm stressed out. I love to paint, or when I'm inspired, I love to paint, things like that. So hurdle number two is understanding that your business isn't necessarily here to fulfill that creative void,
mm-hmm.
right? And instead of relying on your business for that creative void, we can have those other hobbies. Like, okay, if I make skincare, well, maybe now I actually have a creative hobby of painting because I need to get that creativity out somewhere. I'm working on my business like all day long. I understand that if I'm constantly coming up with new products, I'm kind of digging myself into a hole. So knowing that when you have a business, that creativity is meant in your business to be on how do you grow your business, being creative on social media, being creative on your website, being creative with your emails that you send out to your customers, being creative with your branding, things like that. And then if you need more creativity, if you're just like itching for more creativity, then it's just about finding those hobbies that can fulfill that. One thing that I tell people, because this is kind of a touchy subject, so if someone's listening and they are running a product business, I mean, this is a sensitive topic, but what I tell people is your business is here to fulfill a dream, not to fulfill a void. A lot of times we have this creativity void of like, but I want to make new products because this is my creative outlet. And that's where it comes down to having another creative, actual creative outlet outside of business to fulfill that creative void, because your business is literally here to fulfill a dream. If you have a dream to leave your full-time job, if you have a dream to take your family on that beach vacation, if you have a dream just to be able to take a random day off because you work for yourself and you can do whatever you want to do, that's the end goal with your business. And that's what we have to focus on. So with that, I'll lead to some more maybe like tactical things with hurdle number three. Once people understand this, once they understand like, okay, hobby versus business and focusing my creativity on growing my business and having other creative outlets for self-care, et cetera, then it comes down to really focusing on one project at a time, kind of like what I mentioned earlier. Then what happens, what I see with a lot of small business owners is it's just like floodgates open. There's so many things you can do when you start a small business. I mentioned a couple of them: Pinterest, Etsy, email marketing, Instagram, your website, reaching out to stores, selling on Fair, getting into subscription boxes, selling at markets. There's all of these potential opportunities. But what I love to tell people is just to focus on one of those projects at a time. Because when you actually focus on one project and get it to completion, well, you're going to be so much further than if you have 50 projects that are all 10% done and you're kind of brain fried, scrambled, not knowing what to do. And if people are like, well, I don't know where to start, what ones to do, what I would recommend, and it depends on where you are in your business, but if you're starting a small business and you need, for example, to build a customer base, if you need to get some proof of concept, if you need kind of some quick cash, then I would recommend to do some local markets. Just get like your feet wet, go to a couple of local markets. You'll meet people, get them to follow you on Instagram, get their email addresses, get some sales, start talking to people, understanding what they like, and start feeling out for it. And you make some money that way too, which will then help you to continue to grow your business. Second thing I recommend for people to really focus on is Instagram. I mean, or some sort of social media presence. We have to have something because we have to be online in some capacity. And people are either on TikTok, Instagram, or whatever other social media platform nowadays, literally all day, every day. So you have to be where people are and start building that. It's going to take time, but building that. And then the third thing I would recommend for people is you have your markets in person, get some cash. You have Instagram for a social media presence. And then it's understanding Etsy or maybe your website, having a place for people online to find you and buy from you. Now, I recommend people to go on Etsy because there's not a big website hosting fee, for example. You don't have to know graphic design to create a beautiful website. It's just your photos, your description, your title and keywords, and now you can start to funnel people there, and Etsy will also funnel people towards your products too. So if you say biggest three hurdles, I don't know, maybe that was like four or five. I kind of went on a tangent, but it's just essentially really refining how we look at starting and growing a product-based business and then being super intentional with what avenues we do right off the start to get that into a good spot.
I love it. That's so, this has been so enlightening because I know nothing about all this stuff. So I'm so happy that you are on here sharing about it. And Etsy, you concentrate mostly on Etsy, right? But as far as your business goes, and what's the reason you said, you know, you don't have to create your own website, blah, blah, blah. But Etsy's a little bit like a search forum, would you think? Like a YouTube or something, like people are looking for a certain thing, they're going to go search for it on Etsy. How, if you could give somebody just a quick tip, I know it's a lot more, but like how, what's the best way to be found if they want to put something out there?
Yeah, really great question. So first thing that I'll say, because I know a lot of people might be thinking too of like Etsy versus website, which one and why? So I'm a big fan of doing Etsy first because of those reasons I mentioned of how it's easier, customers can find you. But with my own small business, I started on Etsy and I took some time to optimize it and figure it out. And then I went on to build my own website, email, Pinterest, all that fun stuff. But what was super interesting for me is that Etsy was consistently in the background bringing me in sales. As soon as I learned how to optimize it, how to really work the algorithm, how to do marketing correctly on Etsy, then I got some initial sales and it continued to grow and grow and kind of snowball, which is a beautiful part of Etsy. Now, what a lot of product-based small business owners do is they think Etsy is only for newbies. So they start on Etsy and then they turn it off. Or they start on Etsy and they don't learn how to optimize it. They don't see results. So then they turn it off. Or they think, oh, it's too saturated. So they never even give it a try. But if you know how to do Etsy the right way, number one, it's going to keep bringing you sales for the long run in the background. And if you continue to know how to really influence the algorithm, it's just going to boost you and show you to more and more people. It's essentially like a passive income revenue stream. All you have to do is fulfill the order, drop it off at the post office. You're not doing any marketing. You're not on social media all day. You're not like promoting it. It's literally bringing the customers to you. And as long as it's optimized, you're going to show up for those customers who are searching for products just like yours. So that's why I love Etsy. So although I grew my business across all of those different platforms in every single one of those avenues, because when you're selling items that are like 20, 30, 40, 50, it's a game of numbers. You got to be in all the places. But having Etsy kind of as that tried and true avenue where people come in and can continue to come in and have it running in the background, one of the best ways to create those consistent sales. And I love what you said of then it just brings you a little bit of peace of mind, right? Instead of being potentially really reactive with your business, you're proactive. You create this and it's bringing in those sales to fund your business, to give you quick cash or whatever it may be. So that's my little spiel on like why Etsy is important and why I like people starting there and continuing there even as they create their own website later down the line too. Or if you have your own website, cool, let's go back to Etsy. A lot of my clients do that to create that second revenue stream in that place too. But when we talk about how do we actually get seen on Etsy, I'll give a couple quick tips because there's definitely a lot that goes into it. And I think this is why people struggle because the concepts seem pretty simple, but it can take effort, trial and error, research to get it right. So sometimes people go on Etsy, put their products up, don't see results, and then they give up. But it's like, all right, there's got to be a little bit more of just finesse and actually working with it that helps you to make it work. So I'll give a couple really quick tips. First thing that I will say is you want to make sure the title of your product is full of keywords, SEO words that describe your product. So one example, I had a serum called the Heal and Glow Facial Serum. On Etsy, I didn't title it Heal and Glow Facial Serum because no one on Etsy is searching. Right, exactly. They don't know me or my business or the name of my product. Instead, they're typing in organic moisturizer, organic face oil, organic serum, anti-aging for acne, for dry skin, words like that. So those are the words that you want to use in your title because how SEO works on Etsy is like SEO on Google. Mm-hmm. The more that you have words that match what someone is typing in and searching for, the more likely you are to be on that first page search results. So what I recommend people to do is just imagine you're on the phone with your friend. How would you describe your product? And if you sell a candle, for example, if you're on a phone with your friend, you would say, I sell a coconut wax candle that's in a blue cement vessel that is scented with mango and has dried lavender florals on top with a wooden wick. Those are the keywords that you want in your title. Because when people shop on Etsy, they're looking for something specific. If they wanted any old candle, they would go to Target, they would go to Amazon, they would get two days free and they would get it. If they're on Etsy, they're looking for a candle for a specific room, for a specific friend, for a specific purpose. for a specific use that literally isn't on Amazon or places like that. So being super, super specific is so key, and this takes some trial and error. Now, the second tip that I'll give is you want to get on the first page search results with those SEO keywords that describe your product. Now, that's not the only part of it, because now on that first page, there's still 60 other products there. So you have to also attract the attention of the customer. So we do this with your main photo, with the marketing levers like free shipping, a discount, star seller is something that Etsy has. So really using all of the marketing levers that Etsy has to offer to draw those eyeballs to your product on that page. Because if no one on the page is offering free shipping, but you are, that green free shipping icon is going to be like eyeballs drawn to you, people click on it, and then we go to the next phase of confirming their expectations with details in the photos and description. But really the key with Etsy is you have to get your product seen, you have to get those keywords right, and you have to influence the algorithm by having reviews, by having the right details in your description, by having the right photos, using the marketing levers. So it's really this like massive ecosystem. And with any ecosystem, if you disrupt a little bit of it, like that whole ecosystem can go away, right? Yeah. So it's learning the finer details of it, but those are some quick tips just to get started for sure.
Oh yeah, that free shipping always gets me. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, yeah. I want free shipping.
Especially on Etsy too, because sellers can determine their own shipping. If you don't have free shipping, imagine if I'm a customer, someone may be offering shipping for $10 or for $5 or for $20, and customers just get sick of it. Like, I don't want to click on something and then have 10 extra dollars added. So just find the free shipping. So, yeah. I mean, it's super simple concepts, but yeah, I mean, I'm the same way when I shop. I don't even want to have to think about doing the math or adding this or figuring out how much more it's going to be.
Yeah. And they can just like bake that shipping cost into the cost of the product.
100%.
Yeah. I love this so much. Oh my gosh. I'm learning so much. So I think I saw on, it was your stories or a reel that you do audits sometimes for your students. Anything else besides what you just told us about that will stick out and you'll go, oh, let's fix this. Cause you just gave us a lot of information and just,
Yeah. But I think that's a great question and something that really sticks out for me. So after you appear in the search results with those keywords and you attract the customer's attention with those marketing levers and your main photo, well, now they clicked on your listing, right? But then the next step is they have to have their expectations confirmed for them to actually add it to cart. Because what happens is a lot of people will get views, but they don't get sales. So people are clicking on it and looking at it, but they're not adding it to cart and actually purchasing. So what this tells me, if you look at like data for your Etsy listings or anything like that, if your views aren't turning into sales, if you have a low conversion rate, then that means there's some sort of details in your actual Etsy description or the photos that are missing, that are confusing, that aren't crystal clear to that customer that they are hitting the back button and looking for someone else. So an example I love to give is, imagine if you're booking a hotel for your honeymoon and you find this perfect hotel on Expedia.com and it looks beautiful, but there's one piece of information that's not there. You can either call the hotel, ask them, reach out to Expedia, see if they know, or you hit the back button and you go to the next hotel listing. And as long as that one looks just as good and has those details, you're probably going to book that one. No one's going to go through the trouble of actually reaching out, asking questions. And right. we think people will, but when you're on a platform like Etsy, where there's literally hundreds of other options, people aren't going to send you a message on Etsy asking a question. They're going to go back. So the next step really is confirming the customer's expectations. So being strategic with your photos, educating with every single photo. You should be sharing the benefits. You should be sharing a customer review. You should be sharing different angles of the photo of the product in your photos. You should be showing the product in actual use in the photos too, to evoke some of that emotion of what is it like to use this candle or to wear this piece of jewelry. And then also your description is truly just a way to give trust to that customer of what happens if it arrives damaged or if there is an issue with shipping or how quick is shipping. So again, on Etsy, there's so many small business owners. So when people are shopping on Etsy, they may be a little bit skeptical. Like, okay, am I going to get this on time? Is it going to be exactly like expected? So the more clear you can be in your description to say, yes, items ship within 1 to 3 business days with tracking information. Cool. Expectations have been confirmed. Mm-hmm. Return policy. If anything happens, please reach out to us. Cool. Okay. At least I know that I'll be taken care of if there's an issue. Details about the product, how it's made, ingredients, how is it used? Are there any instructions? What's the size? All of those pieces of information have to be on there. So once you have the confirmed expectations piece in a good spot, well, then people can add it to cart and then they purchase. And then that's how you start to build that Etsy machine and really start to beat the algorithm when you start to get sales that come in.
Yeah, this is so exciting. Like I said, I just keep learning stuff. So I know that everybody listening, if you are looking to start a product business, this is it. Or if you have one and you're not seeing the sales, definitely check out Monica and her Etsy. Etsy Algorithm Secrets. Yes. That's the name of your course group. Yeah. Okay.
It's a cool. Tongue twister.
I know. I'm like, love Etsy stuff. Okay, guys, you'll find it.
That's what it is.
Is there anything else you want to leave listeners with before we end?
Yeah. So last thing I'll say, if you are thinking of starting a product business, if you have like this passion or hobby and you're like, yes, I'm ready to turn this into a business, I just want to mention to you, like, number one, all of your dreams are 100% possible. So I was able to leave my full-time job, focus on plant-based beauty, grew it to multiple 6 figures, ended up moving from Chicago to Arizona. Literally, the dreams that I've had have been put into motion from taking that small little seed of an idea and running with it. So if I can leave anyone with anything, if you're thinking of starting a product-based business, if you have an idea or a passion or a hobby, run with it and start putting in the dedication and commitment that's needed, because you have no idea the potential that's possible. It can grow into something that's just amazing and changes your life and gives you so much just joy to bring your products into the hands of more people. And then the last thing that I'll say too, if you're on the flip side, like you said, if you already have a small business and if you're struggling, just know that it's going to take time. It's going to take energy. And that passion, that vision, that end goal that you have why you started your business has to be what really fuels you through the challenges, the hardships, and every single step in between. But no matter if you're starting a business, have an idea, or if you're in it, just keep going, keep putting that one small step in front of the next one, and you're going to see how you get closer and closer and closer to your dreams after every single day. So just go with it, believe in yourself. I just love to ignite that within people to make sure that, you know, they're working towards their dreams, because we have one little short life of ours. So just making it the best as we possibly can.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I appreciate hearing everything you shared with us today. And I will put her links in the show notes so you guys can go check her out on Instagram and see all about the Etsy.
Once again, thanks so much for joining us today and listening to the Etsy Algorithm Secrets with Monica Little. And do not forget, if you are wanting to get started with money coaching with me, right now is the time. Check the links in the show notes for all.